This program originally aired in 2004.
Hi, I'm Marian McPartland. My guest today on Piano Jazz is Ruth Laredo, who's known throughout the music world as the First Lady of the Piano. Hello, Ruth.
Hi, Marian. Great to be here with you today.
Oh, it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
I was just trying to think the other day, when did we meet? Wasn't it at the Carlisle years ago?
It probably was. I think it was when George Shearing was playing. Don't you think that's the event that we were both attending and someone introduced us to each other? But I didn't know you at all then.
It sounds right.
But it's hard to remember because I feel as if I've always known you.
I know. When you think of all the things we've done together, all our dates with Dick Hyman and jazz and crossover.
We've played a lot of concerts and traveled a lot of miles together, and it's hard to remember when it all began.
But it's all been such fun.
Yes, it's been tremendous for me to know you and to play with you.
Well, hearing you, just being in a concert hall and hearing you do your thing, like I've been to concerts of yours at the Metropolitan Museum where you just not only play, you talk. The thing is, you know so much about composers. It's
Marian,
you studied their lives.
I don't start off knowing really much at all, but if I have a concert at the Met Museum, which I've been doing for over 15 years now, I have to inform myself so that I can speak about the composer to the audience. So it's really a learning experience for me, and I've found out a lot of interesting personal and other facts about some of the composers that I've played there.
Well, I don't know of anybody else that does that, that gives you a sort of an overview or a little history of the composer's life before playing the music. It's very interesting, especially when you come out with these little gossipy bits now and again.
Yeah, there's always gossip about composers, about everybody.
Well, I think we should talk a little bit later, and right now I'd love to hear you play something.
Okay, Marian. Shall I play something by Rachmaninoff? I think that's a good
way to
start.
I think that would be heavenly.
Okay, this is a Rachmaninoff prelude in G major.
Okay. You know, it seems to me that everything he writes is so melodic.
Yes.
And there's always a beautiful melody to it, like some, even though I don't know it, you know, I hear, let's see. Like you can just take that little phrase and I could make something out of that.
You can make something out of anything, Marion. I know you
but
can.
But he already did. There's no point in me doing it. But there's so many other pieces of his that people stole for, they called them different names. Like there was one that goes, let's see.
Yes, the second piano concerto. It's the most popular one of all of his pieces.
I don't know it, but I guess the point I wanted to make is that his music has been heard by everybody, like even the typical man on the street that doesn't know that he's maybe whistling Rachmaninoff.
That's true. I once had to think about Rachmaninoff's influence in Hollywood in the 40s and 50s and 60s. There are a bunch of movies that used Rachmaninoff's most popular music as soundtracks. Do you remember the movie with Marilyn Monroe and Tom Ewell, The Seven-Year Itch?
It
was one of the funniest movies I ever saw. And the music that Tom Ewell fantasizes with when he's sitting on the piano bench with a gorgeous Marilyn Monroe and she's eating potato chips.
Was it that?
Was this.
It was this one?
Yes, it's Full Moon and Empty Arms.
And he's Full Moon and Empty Arms.
And he's very suave in a silken robe and she's so gorgeous, but she's eating potato chips. She's oblivious to what's going on in his mind and he sees her in his arms to this music. And it's one of the funniest scenes in the movie. I always think of Rachmaninoff, who's so serious, but they use the music
for good
effect.
You probably know all about how it was written and who he was married to and what
was
going on.
Well, I'll tell you something. Rachmaninoff had a very big depressive time in his life. He couldn't write a note after a particular disaster with the premiere of his first symphony, and for years he couldn't write a thing. And he was really sliding into oblivion, and some friends of his, this is still in Russia, he lived in Moscow, they took him to a doctor, Dr. Nikolai Dahl, who was a psychiatrist who was beginning a new practice of hypnosis. And if it hadn't been for this man, Dr. Dahl, we wouldn't have this piece, because he hypnotized Rachmaninoff into being able to write a piano concerto of excellent quality. And he suddenly began to find it easy to write again, and this came just flying out of his pen. And this was the piece that started his great surge, you should pardon the expression, of great creativity. And he dedicated this second piano concerto to Dr. Nikolai Dahl. So...
See, I never knew that. It makes it all that much more interesting.
It's more poignant because it just he was in such terrible shape and couldn't write a thing. And then suddenly this glorious piece came floating out of his mind. And everybody loves this piece now.
So. Boy, now you're going to have to tell me something about Chopin.
Oh, my. The Chopin Etudes and the Chopin Preludes are all beautiful pieces of music. They're all individual, and yet... You learn something. You get some aspect of piano technique or tone or something out of each one. The preludes are interesting because he modeled them after the Bach preludes and fugues. The Bach well-tempered clavichord for him was the Bible, and he took this book of Bach with him to Mallorca when he was on his famous trip with George Sand. A woman older than he, not his wife. There's the gossip.
Goodness.
And he and she and her two children were in this terrible monastery together, and it was raining, and he was coughing, and he wrote these marvelous preludes in that terrible period of time when he was supposed to be on vacation. The weather was terrible.
I was thinking of one in particular. I don't know the number of it, but this one.
Is the Joe Beam version of what Chopin wrote.
Well, it's, I always, I don't think she'll be meant to copy that, but play the actual prelude.
Okay, it's short. It's a prelude in E minor, number 4 by Chopin.
Now that thing is so poignant, so beautiful.
Yes.
But it's funny how the Jobim piece, how insensitive.
Yes.
I don't think it's just a coincidence that it's
hard to believe that he wouldn't have heard the Chopin. I don't think he meant to steal it, but it's the same tune. There's no doubt.
Well,
why don't you play it?
Well, I can play sort of a impromptu version of what a lot of us hear from that tune. The original Jobim, of course, is the greatest, but
yes,
we all play it in different ways, so here's my version of that.
To hear the full Piano Jazz broadcast, tune in next week to your NPR station or stream the program online at pianojazz.npr.org. Piano Jazz is a production of South Carolina Public Radio.